You know, it's interesting, sort of concurrent with this excitement that's been generated because of your work and others in EGFR mutations, I get the sense there's also more interest and more awareness of the issue of non-smoking as a predictive factor. Can you sort of update us on where we are in terms of that issue?
Well, I think that several things have happened with non-smoking. This has been brewing over a 10-year period where we have anecdotally seen an increase in women non-smokers with lung cancer. You know, in my own practice, I've seen a dramatic increase in the number of women non-smokers with lung cancer who've appeared. It has yet to actually hit the epidemiology data because, as you know, tumor registry type data is usually at least 5 to 10 years behind these trends. But a number of us who treat lung cancer have been noticing that there seem to be more people with non-smoking related lung cancers, particularly in women. What's also interesting about this is that this is a similar group to who benefits from EGFR TKI therapy, and it also is a group that predicts who has mutations within the EGFR gene. For example, in women, the single best predictors for response to Tarceva is non-smoking status, and then women, and then adenocarcinoma. And those are the groups that have the highest rates of having EGFR tyrosine kinase mutations. Plus, I think there's also been some highly publicized patients who are non-smokers, such as Christopher Reeves' wife, who recently publicly announced that she had lung cancer. And I think that's brought attention to the plight that a lot of non-smoking women who are facing lung cancer have found, and that this traditionally has been looked at as a disease of men who have very heavy smoking histories. In fact, my dad is a physician who retired recently, and he was in medical school back in the 50s. And in the 50s, it was felt that lung cancer must have a hormonal component because it only happened in men. And now we're seeing that lung cancer in general is remarkably common in women. It's certainly a 50-50 equal opportunity disease in terms of new cases. And the non-smoking women, I think, is probably a very curious development because we don't have a great explanation for why these non-smoking, often young women are developing lung cancer. There is some interesting work that Jill Siegfried at Pittsburgh and Joan Schiller at Wisconsin are doing, looking at the role of hormonal influences with lung cancer treatment, trying to figure out if treating women with anti-estrogens might somehow help this group of patients. And there's some trials combining chemotherapy with anti-estrogen therapy to see if one can improve outcome. But at this point, it still remains very much a hypothesis-generating endeavor.
We've also seen data looking at people who were former smokers and who didn't have that much of a heavy smoking history. Vince Miller presented some data on that recently. From a practical point of view, do you think that those kinds of patients can be included in potential TKI responsiveness?
Absolutely. In fact, there are several trials going on. We have a trial that Pasi Yanni from our sister institution at the Dana-Farber is running, where we're looking at first-line therapy with Tarceva in women who are non-smokers with adenocarcinoma, without not screening people for mutations, obviously looking for mutations, but just looking at the clinical criteria to see if that should be a reason to treat people in that setting. So it's some very interesting data that Pasi is obtaining.
Do you think that this is going to sort of roll out as a continuum that, for example, if you have a total of, say, less than 10 or 15-year PAC history, maybe the time from quitting smoking, do you think that all these things will eventually roll out into more of a continuous kind of variable?